if you're coming to see us in one of those cities that we're going to this year, you know, Columbus, Orlando, St. Louis, Dallas, why don't you tell us in the comments? I want to know who's coming where so I know where we get to meet you. And if you need that link to get your tickets, we can hook you up. But I want to know, like, which city are we going to meet you in?
I also want to know if you're flying in.
People do fly in. It's freaking awesome. But now it's time. Welcome back. It's time to hit the list. Every week we scour the internet for the best lists around. And this week, this list comes to you from
me,
Mr. Gittimer himself. And we don't pick these. We really don't. Our producer does. So it's the 8.5 qualities you must have to be an effective sales leader. Nada, what's number one?
Number one is maintain a positive attitude, solution-oriented, action-oriented, people-oriented. A leader's enthusiasm is contagious. If you get too close, you might catch a serious case of success.
Yeah, when I made number one, I had a choice between maintain a positive attitude and don't be a dick. Because so many sales leaders don't have that personality that exudes encouragement rather than what are you doing today? Show me your records. So show me your backlog. Show me your pipeline, all the crap that sales leaders do that don't actually help make a sale.
I like that you listed not just a positive attitude, but also solution-oriented, action-oriented, people-oriented. Because what happens so often is that people have issues and they go to their sales leader expecting solutions. And so if you want to be a leader in sales, whether you're like a leader leading teams or not, but you just want to be a leader making more sales, you got to be the answer to issues. You got to be the problem solver, the action taker. So I love that, Jeffrey.
Second.
What's number two?
Number two, embrace change. Change is certain. Followers tend to resist change. It is the mark of a leader to welcome change and take advantage of the opportunity it presents.
I have taken the word change and substituted the word opportunity for it because that's what change really represents in your life. If something's different going to occur, you have to look for the pony in a barn full of horseshit.
That's right. I say that all the time. And if you're the person working for a leader who's not embracing change, just realize that one of the things that may be holding them back from embracing that change is fear. It's fear and risk of the unknown. It's fear and risk of their reputation. It's fear and risk of what it could do to sales. And so if you want to make that change for your team or for your customer or whatever it is, you got to decrease that risk. You got to do whatever it takes to help your leader see how you can decrease that risk. Now, before we get to number three, Rachel is asking if we're going to Chicago or Milwaukee. Now, we were in Chicago last year.
But Milwaukee is a definite possibility.
Yeah. So, but come see us in Ohio. Aren't they sort of close?
Yeah.
Or no, come to St. Louis. That's close to Chicago.
Yeah. And there you go.
See, I know geography, I swear. And we have two more friends here, Glenville and
hey, Glenn.
Michael Silverman.
Ooh, Glenn, I was just bragging about you the other day to somebody who was, I can't remember where the hell they were, but there's some real estate magnate guy, and I said, you need to know Glenn Bill. He's Mr. Frickin' Real Estate.
That's right, he is. And Michael, thank you for helping us with Jeffrey's Lost Ring.
Yes, Michael.
Yeah. All right, Nada, what's number three?
Number three, we're going to deploy some courage. Douglas MacArthur said, courage is just fear that holds out a little bit longer. It's good advice. George Patton even said, I don't take my counsel from my fears. Good advice as well. Leaders choose courage.
And again, I had to change the title of this. I couldn't say, don't be a chicken shit.
Who made you change these titles? Your publisher?
Yeah, I'm wondering.
No. I'm trying to be politically correct.
PC? Yes, got
I don't
it.
Wanna, I don't want to piss off.
We know better.
I only want to piss off a few people.
I got you. So it's interesting because I actually brought up fear in the second one, but I totally agree. It relates here too. I think that one's awesome. So what's number four, Nada?
Number four would be take a risk. The biggest risk is to never take one. One of the hallmarks of success is the willingness to risk. Leaders are determined to win or try again.
I want you to think about the great Newt Rockne, who tried the shift in the backfield with the four horsemen and won a big game, and it was the first time they ever did it. This guy was a risk taker. Lombardi, risk taker. Think of any coach that you know, risk taker. Even the jackass Sean Payton took a risk by having an onside kick to open up the second half of a Super Bowl and won as a result of it. And he is a jackass, by the way.
So my response for number two, like, still holds, because I talked about risk and fear, yeah. And I had no idea those were coming down your list. So I love how we're on the same page about all this. It's so crazy. It's like we know each other or something.
It's almost like you two are a married couple.
Yeah, right? You know? It's almost like that.
Almost.
All right. I love this. What's number five? So if you're just joining us, by the way, these are the 8.5 qualities that are essential if you're going to be a great sales leader. And they come from Jeffrey Gitomer.
And you can also take them as a great salesperson. I tried to make the list to where you could exchange salesperson or sales leader, but keep going.
All right, Nada.
All right, before we get to number five, I would also recommend, if you have a friend that is struggling with their sales, why aren't you sharing this part of the message? You can get them better. They can help. They can stop asking you to borrow money. Like, there's things like this that they probably need here. But we're going to get to
so the next time they come to borrow money, hey, sure, I'll give you that $50 as long as you listen to the Sell or Die podcast.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. We also take donations, so.
Yeah. Unsolicited donations, not like the ones we're begging for right now.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Listen. Number five is listen. Oh. Listen with the intent to understand. Leaders listen to learn. Your prospects know their needs, and they know what's happening on the front lines of their business. Just listen.
Have you ever been in a sales meeting where the like you're being sold to, mm-hmm. and the salesperson doesn't listen?
They won't shut the hell up.
It's like the most irritating thing on the planet. And I just want to like shake them and be like, dude, you're not listening. I'm making the decision here about whether or not I'm buying. Why don't you listen to what I want? Don't be that dude, please.
Yeah, exactly. There are a couple of things that come to mind immediately, but listening with the intent to understand is the second half of listening, because most salespeople listen with the intent to respond, mm-hmm. which is the wrong way to listen, because then you tend to interrupt. And my challenge to any salesperson is just take notes while the customer's talking so that you show them that you value what it is that they're saying. And we'll just kind of go from there.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. All right. Oh, Alex likes my new computer cover. If you want one, I'll tell you where I got mine.
We'll
I like it too.
Show notes,
thanks,
yeah.
Alex. All right, Nada, what's the next one?
Number six, communicate. Leaders set the example for open communication. They use their heads. They say what they feel. They speak from their heart.
Right. If you speak from your heart, it's going to be an emotional exchange as opposed to speaking from your head, where it's going to be a logical exchange. And if you start your sales meeting out by saying, we got a lot of stuff to get through today, so everybody listen up, I'm already gone. But if you say, this is going to be the best sales meeting of the year,
woo,
and I want to make sure that everybody gets takes full advantage of this, because there's money at the end of it.
Yeah.
Same meeting, different jackass.
And different response as well. And yeah. So it's not just communicating internally, it's also communicating with your customer.
Yeah. So there you darn go.
All right. What's number seven?
Number seven is delegate and empower. Mm-hmm. Leaders share responsibility. They don't dictate. They set examples for others to follow. Leaders encourage growth in others by challenging them to take new responsibility, encouraging them to succeed, and supporting them if they fail. Leaders understand that mistakes are lessons on the way to success.
Wow.
So we have some people on our team, I won't mention any names, obviously, who sometimes want everything to be perfect. And
what's
don't
it rhyme with? What rhyme
with? Again, what are we talking about here? Let's move on to number eight.
Oh, no, we're on seven right now, I think. And I don't know if you have people that you work with who also feel the same way, where they want things to be perfect. And so they're scared to try them. Until they have all the answers and know all the things and are certain Wow, that was very S-y, sorry. And are certain that they're going to come out perfectly. But here's the thing. Every time you take action, that action creates clarity. And every time you take a risk, you get a little bit further to creating the potential sale, to moving the deal further along. You got to keep trying. And so...
here's what Jen's saying. Fuck up early.
Yeah, but I'd rather you do it and try it and fuck up and learn from your mistake than not do it at all.
Agreed.
Because if you don't do it at all, you're never going to learn from your mistake.
Agreed. And don't be hesitant to make a mistake.
Yeah, if your boss is not empowering you to do that, go out and empower yourself. You don't need a permission slip. If you need one here, you just got one from me, okay? Yeah. That's your permission slip to go fuck up.
We'll send you an email.
Oh, man. All right, Nada, what's number eight?
All right, see, now that I have this permission slip to mess up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Number eight is understand others, yourself, and your situation. Leaders understand the importance of an open and inquisitive mind. The constant quest for knowledge brings greater understanding.
It is amazing to me how many salespeople and sales leaders do not understand their immediate situation. They try to come up with an answer without understanding where they stand at the moment. That is the biggest mistake that a leader makes. Don't think about an answer before you know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, like he said. I like that.
Cool.
What's 8.5?
8.5 is commitment, something you two know about really, really well.
Yeah.
Commitment is the catalyst that makes all other leadership qualities a reality. Daily rededication to commitment is the difference between leaders and would-be leaders.
So I love what you say here as your wife. I'm curious, Jeffrey, how would someone rededicate themselves to commitment daily? What's something that they could do?
Some people don't like what they do. Some people have been doing the same thing for 25 years. Some people don't have the same vigor that they once had on their first day on the job or the first year on the job, and they become complacent. They go from groove to rut. And that's the challenge that anybody has, is to look in the mirror and go, am I committed to do this? What's my level of desire to be best at what I do?
So it's like a self-commitment first.
Right. What kind of commitment are you making unless you make a commitment to yourself?
Well, yeah, I love it. I love it. Cool. This is awesome.
All right, now.
Yes.
Nada?
Sir?
Story music, please.
Oh.
Hold on one sec. Okay. How are you going to pull that
Jeffrey's
out? Jeffrey's
going to tell you guys a story, and he wants his intro story music.
Where did this list come from?
I don't know. Where did this list... You know, people always want to know, while not as waiting, finding the music, people always want to know what the 0.5 is. Maybe you can explain that real fast.
Exactly. That is exactly what I'm going to explain right now.
Oh, my God. It's like I'm reading your mind.
Bingo.
I love it.
So, in 1993... I had been writing my column for about a year, and I had a client who did time management, and he decided that he wanted to do leadership because he was in the military and he understood leadership, and he goes, make me a list of things that I can talk about as a leader. And I said, no problem. He was paying me $100 an hour. It took me a few hours to come up with the list, and this is exactly what I wrote to this guy about 25 years ago. I have not changed one word.
Whoa.
So I read the list of eight things. And
that's why you had to take out chicken shit.
Right. And so here's the real deal. I said, and in order for you to separate yourself from all the other people, I put, instead of saying nine things, I put 0.5 at the end. And the 0.5 is the glue that combines all the other things, commitment. And he goes, I don't like it. And I said, cool, I'll use it. And I've been using it for the last 25 years, and it has made me a bloody fortune.
Wow.
So I tried to give away for $100. I tried to give away one of the best ideas I've ever had, and some guy thought it was stupid. Now, next time somebody thinks that your idea is stupid, tell them to fuck off and die and keep it for yourself.
But have a nice day, because when you someone to fuck off and die, if you add have a nice day, it's a little bit kinder.
And have a nice day.
What if they die?
Well, if they
don't die, don't die.
They don't have to worry about it.
No.
But
no.
Listen, this is the challenge. This guy rejected my idea, literally rejected me. And I thought, no, this is a brilliant idea.
But that
I'm
going
to keep using it.
That was the universe's way of telling you, you're selling this for too cheap, $100. This thing is worth way more than that. It's freaking brilliant.
So for the last, look at my book titles, look at my book covers, look at any list I've ever made. They all end in 0.5, and people are intrigued by it.
Yeah.
I've had hundreds, literally hundreds of emails saying, why do you do 0.5? Well, I do 0.5 to get that email. dude, I'm trying to explain to you, you could get hundreds of emails just by doing something a little bit different than everybody else does. It is a different, it's not just a differentiator. It literally is a brand. And I have a trademark, another 0.5 list from Jeffrey Gittimer. But the bottom line there is that it has worked.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing, guys. I've seen people try to do this. Like, don't go be making 0.5 lists. They're Jeffrey's. Okay? He's trademarked the 0.5 list. Don't go be making one. Don't be making a 0.7 list. That's dumb. Okay? Come up with something unique and original. That's you.
Exactly. Okay, so.
And have a nice day.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so is it,
do
we have something that is my favorite part of the show. It's coming up, and it's the leads, and it's when we bring you the thing that has inspired us, that's really moving us this week to help move you, to help motivate and inspire you.
I have a really good one too.
But so, first, you got to watch this.
Hi, I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute, and I'm coming to a city near you with this guy.
It's ass-kicking time in your town, and you're either going to kick ass or get your ass kicked. The only difference is coming to our seminar.
The term in a New York minute, and you likely have your own definition of what it might mean. For me, it's fast, clear, direct, and successful. I'm Jen Gluckow, the author of Sales in a New York Minute. You need more profitable sales. You need better customer loyalty. Sales in a New York Minute gives you 212 pages of real-world, easy-to-implement strategies that'll help your sales and your success soar. What else am I saying? It takes way less than a New York Minute to buy the book, and it will give you years of success when you take action. So click here.
Click, click.
Buy now. Get a copy for you and your entire team. Click.
For like a week,
your
I was.
Your hair is longer.
I know, it's way longer.
Okay,
for like a week, I was running around being like, click, 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 click.
It was annoying
as hell.
It
was so fun.
Yeah, it was annoying.
Wait, just a week?
Okay, maybe like a month, but okay, you guys can still click, click, and get the book.
Here's the deal. Your hairstyle can change. Mine does not.
I know. That's why no one ever recognizes me.
Right.
I always look different. All right, so this segment is amazing. I'm glad you're here. And if you're just joining us, welcome to part 3 of Motivation Monday. This is the leads segment where we bring you the leads.
Oh. You go first.
It's one of my favorite segments because we get to share with you what's going on in our world, what's inspiring us, you know, that whole kind of thing. I want to talk about doing a debrief because I don't think many people do this. I know that when I led a team, we didn't do this very often, but there is so much power in a debrief. So we've been doing a lot of digital launches lately, and after each launch, we have a specific format, a specific formula for how we walk through the results and the outcomes, for how we analyze what's working, what's not working, what went well, what could go better. And so whether we win or lose, okay, like whether it's like the most successful launch on the planet or an okay one.
Right, okay.
We take the lessons learned so that we can make the next one stronger. And so what happens is with salespeople is you get a sale, you get an opportunity, and you either win or lose. And then if you lose, you try to figure out a way to move on as quickly as possible to get the next win. But what if you took the loss and actually created a formula for yourself where you analyzed what went well, what didn't go well, what could you improve on the next one, and then use that to get the next sale every time and use that to focus on the lessons learned and the opportunities that arose just from those lessons, you'd be crushing it. Okay, so I want you to think about, what are the questions you need to ask yourself? What are the stats that you need to analyze? What are, maybe it's how many contacts you had. Maybe it's how deep those contact, that relationship went. Maybe it's how many people in the company you made connections with. Various different things so that you can debrief with yourself after each sale or after each major sale, whether you win or you lose.
So I just come up with an acronym, and the acronym is TWEAK.
Okay.
When something goes wrong, you tweak it. Number one, you talk about it, and you talk about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
W is you say, what happened? What happened here? E is eat shit if you have to, if it was your fault for doing it. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
A, adjust your attitude towards success for the next thing. And K is make a game plan to kick ass the next time.
Ooh, I love that. So, I thought K was going to be knowledge, but it's kick ass.
Yeah,
ooh, I love that.
So there you go. And that will
tweak. So let's do that again. Talk about it.
Talk about it. Ask what happened. Eat shit if you have to. Have the right attitude to succeed the next time. And make a plan to kick ass.
There you damn go.
Okay, so
all right, Jeffrey, what's yours? What's your leads?
This morning I was taking a walk, and it occurred to me, I don't use those earbuds or anything to listen to whatever podcast
AirPods.
Or music.
AirPods.
I just walk and think to myself. Sometimes I'll sing a song if something's playing in your head, if you know what I mean. But I look at other people, and they're all preoccupied about something.
Mm.
And I feel like it's time for everybody to wake up and clear your head in the morning. Don't immediately start feeding crap to it. Clear it. Now, I've been clearing my head in a way that most people don't. I write down everything before I go to bed at night, and that helps me wake up in the morning relatively clear. I still have stuff to do. I still have stuff I'm thinking about. But if you take a walk or you take a shower or you take a run, and you're just thinking about yourself and you're putting yourself in a different frame of mind, the fact that there's no distractions, like music or whatever, podcast, the fact that there's no distractions allows you to come up with a brand new thought. So this morning I recorded how cool it is to just clear your head.
I love that.
And it worked out pretty good, actually.
So I do two things, actually. That's similar to that. When I walk the dogs in the morning,
yeah,
I clear my head first, so I don't put on my AirPods right away. And I this is going to sound a little spiritual.
It already is. You talk to the
wait,
dogs.
Wait, we're getting to the woos part?
A little bit. But I take in nature.
Cool.
Okay, to like clear my head. I look at the trees. I look at the flowers.
That's
perfect. Oh my goodness. Okay, when the dogs stop to sniff and smell the roses,
yeah,
like I stop and I take in the roses.
Wait
and
a second.
I used to, yeah.
Do you pee also?
No, I don't pee. It is one of our core values to pee outside, but that's mainly for the dogs. But I allow myself, I used to like rush them along, and now I allow myself that minute or two, maybe it's just 30 seconds, but it feels like forever. And I take that scenery, whatever it is, nature in, and I allow myself to like clear out my head. And once I get my thoughts out, and sometimes I dictate them to myself, then I put my AirPods in,
yeah,
and I listen to something positive.
So
I try to do both, like the combination of both on my walk.
I took some pictures of nature.
Oh,
this
wow.
Morning, and
Jeffrey took pictures of trees. I love it.
I'm going to.
That's so beautiful.
I'm going to post them. We have crepe myrtles in Charlotte. And I know. They're the most beautiful tree in the world. They're very unique to this city for some reason. There's hundreds of thousands.
Wait,
of
you
them.
Should show that picture to Alex because he's supposed to go experience more trees. That's what his card said.
Oh, cool. All right, well, I'll send it to him for okay. sure. In the meantime, diehards, we're going to tell you what's coming up on Seller Diary.
Oh, yeah. So we have a great week. On Tuesday, we have Diane DiResta. She's our former neighbor in New York City, our office neighbor. But she's more than a neighbor because she's actually written an amazing book on public speaking. So she stops by to explain how public speaking can be a competitive advantage.
Yep.
And if you want to strengthen your sales pitch, this is a great episode for you to listen to. And then on Wednesday, we have Ryan Kennedy. He explains how he built like alternative power.
It's a really big bit. Again, alternative power and getting off the grid and again, getting involved with solar.
The guy's good.
Yes, he's good. And it's a complicated sale. So he talks about some of the techniques that he's used. And you may want to add some of those to your sales toolbox. And then on Thursday, it's July the 4th for Americans. It's July the 4th for everybody. But it's Independence Day.
It's July the 4th in Paris, but they don't give a shit.
That's right.
Okay, so today...
But we recorded a special episode for our anyone that's listening on July 4th, really. And it's going to help you stay motivated and make more sales.
So
until next time.
Yeah.
I'm Jen Gluckow.
Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to fly the flag. And get out there, drink a beer, make a sale, even if your ass falls off.